Welcome to Lights, Camera, Baby, where we bring you expert insights and heartfelt conversations to support you on your parenting journey. I'm your host, Pragini Patha, and today we're focusing on a topic that's central to many moms' early parenting experiences, lactation. Breastfeeding is often described as natural, but that doesn't mean it comes easily to everyone. So whether you're preparing for your breastfeeding journey or already navigating it, this episode is filled with practical advice to help you feel confident and supported. Joining us is the incredible Tara Williams, founder of Yoga Mama and a true expert in maternal care. Tara is a mom of three, an internationally trained yoga teacher, a full-spectrum doula, a childbirth educator, lactation expert, and a parenting coach. With her holistic and evidence-based approach, Tara is passionate about empowering mothers and families through their parenting journeys. So let's get right into it with Tara Williams. Well, Tara, thank you so much for joining us on Lights, Camera, Baby. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I know our moms are so eager to learn all about breastfeeding. It's a lot to take in, and we're going to break it up. So let's just kick started. I know you have this great passion for breastfeeding and helping mothers get through this process. So where does it all begin? Where do we start on this?
Thank you. So firstly, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here and to have this platform where moms can come, you know, to listen to advice and to actually have the experts there. So where we begin with breastfeeding is, I think the intention is a big part of breastfeeding is, do you have the intent to breastfeed? Do you want to breastfeed? Do you know about breastfeeding? Because we live in a culture these days that you don't see breastfeeding. We're covering up all the time. You know, you're scared to sit in a restaurant or something and breastfeed your baby, right? Many of us don't see anymore. I think in this generation, you don't see women breastfed where it's normal. You know, usually it used to be a normal thing. You see your mom breastfeed, you see your sisters breastfeed. And I think for me, in my personal journey, that was a big part of it, is I saw breastfeeding around me. It was a thing. So how
does it, I mean, like for mothers that are considering, like they're pregnant right now, these moms want to breastfeed. They I mean, we'll go through those benefits. There's lots of benefits to it, right? So maybe, let's start there. What are the benefits of breastfeeding and why should moms pursue that, do you think?
So firstly, breastfeeding is not only for the baby, but it is for the mother as well. So breastfeeding gives you an incredible bonding experience with your baby. So firstly, you give birth to your baby and ideally your baby's put onto your chest and all of a sudden you have this exceptional feeling of love overwhelming you. You often see mums crying and teary, and that really is the start of the hormones that start breastfeeding, right? Which is oxytocin, our love hormone. It's there when you're having sex, it's there in pregnancy, it's there during birth, and it's big in breastfeeding. So that hormone is the love hormone, and it allows the mom to feel loved, feel cared for, and it signals a release of milk, which we call a letdown reflex, which then allows the milk to come through the milk ducts out, and then the baby suckles, and the milk gets to the baby. So it's super important to have that loving environment. So, which also decreases maternal depression, the rates of maternal depression. Women who breastfeed also have lower instances of cancers, so your breast cancers. And yeah, it's amazing in terms of that for the moms as well. And then for your babies, it is, you know, I think you can read it anywhere as well, but it is the best food for babies. It's made specifically for them. So your breast milk would be different to mine, would be different to another mom's.
Right.
And that's particularly for your baby. And I always love telling moms about what we call the saliva theory, where the baby's mouth touches your breast and your skin, and your breast milk makes antibodies for any pathogens that the baby is exposed to.
Right.
So meaning anything in your environment that can cause infection to your baby is already protected through the breastfeeding experience. So
that is fascinating. That is so fascinating. Now tell me, sometimes you expect to be able to feed baby immediately, But what happens if you can't immediately? Does that mean you stop there, pop a bottle into baby? What do you do?
Absolutely not. So, you know, I think most of the time it comes in that people are squeezing breasts, right? Yes. And you're squeezing with an expectation that something's going to come out.
Yes.
And most of the times the moms, you know, you don't see anything. So what initially comes in and what's actually created in your body from about 14 to 16 weeks of gestation in your pregnancy is colostrum. So colostrum is milk.
As early as 14 to 16 weeks?
As early as that. So your body creates that for your baby. So already from that, so if you have a preterm baby and we look at viability, which is obviously 27, 28 weeks, mm-hmm. right? So even if your baby is born preterm, you have colostrum and you have colostrum to give to your baby.
And so that is still healthy as milk.
Exactly. Colostrum is milk.
Okay.
You know, so we also have this connotation that there's milk that is coming in, you know, and it doesn't come in from anywhere because it's already there.
Yes.
So we've got colostrum, which is your first milk. So I
and
call
even
it
though it's clear, it is still milk,
yes.
right?
And it's not like really clear.
It's a milky. It's not complete. It doesn't look the same, right? Am
yes,
I right?
Yes, absolutely. So I always tell the moms that, and they laugh at me when I say it's not full cream. You're not gonna,
yes.
you're not gonna see full cream milk. You're not gonna see bottles of yes. it either. So colostrum actually has a yellow tinge. So if you had to express quite a bit of it, and we usually do it into syringes instead of bottles because the quantity is so little. So what you see is you'll see a yellow, sometimes very dark yellow, sometimes yellow
right.
tinge, sometimes. So when you're squeezing one droplet out, it looks like it's water. And that's
yes.
absolutely every time you have a first-time mom that is pushing the milk out of her breast. She's like, there's only water coming out.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, love, that water is absolutely important. That's your baby's first vaccine.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's filled with so many incredible vitamins and minerals and all sorts of antibodies in there that
absolutely
protects baby.
Yeah. So the first principle or, you know, the first thing that colostrum does
right.
is it protects against infection. So when your baby's born with no immune system, they need to build that.
Right.
And that's what colostrum does. So colostrum gives them that first immunity, immune protection. Secondly, it provides a coating to the gut and it seeds your microbiome. So I know microbiome is big
yes.
these days and everybody talks about it.
That's right.
And it really is important for just honing in that microbiome. So especially, and I want to talk about moms who have given birth via C-section.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also this big thing about the microbiome that when you haven't given vaginal birth, obviously the seeding of the microbiome hasn't ideally happened, right? So C-section moms are often concerned to say, so now I didn't have that seeding of the microbiome happen. What do I do now? What you do is you breastfeed. Because breastfeeding seeds that exact microbiome.
I see.
So, yeah, all's not lost.
All's not lost. Now, so going back to babies not latching now, a baby doesn't want the milk.
Mm.
Should you persevere? What are the steps can mom do, you know, to get baby to drink? Or sometimes is it because baby is just not hungry? Or is it because baby just can't latch onto the breast? Or what are the general challenges that's going on at that moment? Because, you know, we wait, you know, there's this expectations. Moms have read up, they prepared themselves for this amazing moment and it doesn't go according to plan, mm-hmm. right?
So when the baby is placed onto your chest, ideally we want that baby to be placed onto your chest skin to skin.
Right.
That baby then uses their reflexes and instincts to use like 9 distinct ways to get to the breast and attach themselves to the breast.
So the senses are very involved and heightened
absolutely.
At that point in time.
Absolutely.
Fascinating.
So your first hour after birth really dictates your next 1,000 days. So the first 1,000 days is important
yes.
for breastfeeding because that takes you from pregnancy until age 2, right, in terms
right.
of nutrition.
Okay.
So when you put that baby onto your chest skin to skin, that first hour is important because it sets the stage for breastfeeding, right? So say you put your baby on your breast skin to skin and you've had a C-section. Mm-hmm. Baby may be a little bit sleepy. You know, baby may not latch as well. And if the baby hasn't been put onto your chest skin to skin, that first latch may not be as magical. You know, you may battle. And this is why it's very important to get prenatal breastfeeding support and education to teach you what to look out for, to teach you what to do, right? Wow. So basically, after birth, you put your baby to your breast, and a baby may latch or may not latch, right? Yep. So keeping your baby onto the breast is important. So also not timing and saying, you have to do it now.
Yes.
You know, in this 1 hour, you have to feed. But if you allow your baby skin to skin and you just allow the baby to do what instinctively the baby knows how to do, the baby will do it. You know, so we just have to be patient, first of all, to get that baby to latch. And then secondly, on your other factor, or moving on from the birth,
yes,
now to getting to a stage where latching now really becomes a problem.
Right.
Getting someone to come in and help you, which could be a breastfeeding counselor or lactation consultant, okay, to come in and help you position the baby, because positioning and latch is your main things about breastfeeding. All your problems really come from incorrect positioning and latching. So your shallow latch versus your deep latch, and those create the problems that we see down the line. So if the baby can't latch, seeking help. And also what's of great importance and really gets to me, mm-hmm, is that when you leave the hospital, you must be able to latch your baby yourself.
Okay.
It's easy, even when we're there, mm-hmm, as specialists in breastfeeding, it's easy for you to go and latch the baby because the mom wants to see that.
Yes.
So initially you help the mom latch the baby, yes, but I make it a point never to leave without a mother knowing how to latch the baby herself. Because that person's not going to be with you,
yes,
all the time. They're there for an hour, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever the case may be, and they leave.
Yep.
So you have to know how to latch your baby. So getting that principles. So in my ideal world, every woman would have at least 2 prenatal consults, mm-hmm, for breastfeeding before they give birth. And then they should have someone helping them initially with the latch, a hospital visit, and then hopefully some sort of assistance after birth.
Yeah, after, to follow up.
Yeah, and just to, you know, there's some moms who may not need it,
yes,
who literally puts baby to the breast, they latch magically, but the majority of moms are going to have some sort of a problem,
yes,
you know, a challenge, whether it be latching, whether it be burping. Our number one, whether the baby's getting enough.
As well, getting enough. Yes. Now, okay, before we get there, so other challenges that we've seen that are very common with mums, obviously being sore nipples, engorgement of the breasts, you know, like you're saying, supply of milk. Am I producing enough milk? How do we overcome those kind of issues?
So let's start with sore nipples. Sore nipples, cracked nipples, bleeding nipples, all are latch related. So that the latch is not deep enough and now is causing the baby not to feed well, and it's causing nipple cracks, sore nipples, bleeding nipples. So breastfeeding should never be painful. It should actually be a pain-free experience. If it is sore, it's not.
So baby's going not well. Latching correctly.
Yeah, so let's say deeply.
Okay,
right?
Deeply.
So
right.
Maybe to just come away from the correct, incorrect,
yes, okay,
you know, the
yes,
mom thinking that she's
no
doing something wrong.
True,
yes.
True. That is
so,
a good point.
Yeah, like deep, it's not deep enough. So we want the baby's mouth to open wide enough and the breast to be able to go into the baby's mouth quite deep.
So it's not just on the surface, on the nipple, basically.
Yes. So the baby's on the nipple and the areola. So now I want to bring in flat nipples, right? And slightly inverted nipples doesn't mean that you can't feed your baby. Doesn't mean that you can't latch your baby, because remember, the baby latches to the nipple and the areola.
Yes. Okay.
So it's just a technique of how do we do it? How do we position the baby correctly? what positions can we use? So we've got like a cradle hold, which is the normal hold that you mm-hmm. always see moms doing, you know, holding the baby in the arms, head on the one side, feet on the other side.
Yes.
Then we've got football position or rugby hold, what some people call it, where you put the baby's legs underneath your arm and the head you pull up towards you.
Okay.
So if I can say one thing to the moms about the latching, is make sure that you bring your baby very close to you. So you're bringing your baby towards you, not you going towards your baby.
I see. And it's such a simple technique, but can be misconstrued.
Yes, absolutely. And then usually our pillows, you know, those feeding pillows, yes. all these fancy things mm-hmm. that we buy, those are more for your comfort as the mom. Not necessarily for the baby,
yes.
because we often get moms putting the baby onto the pillow, not holding the baby, and then the baby's dangling the nipple into the mouth, which causes painful nipples, right? Oh. So holding your baby with your hands, cuddling your baby, bringing your baby close, and using the pillows for your comfort.
Now, what about babies that, I mean, sometimes mom might feel like she's sitting there forever, and baby's not stopping, right? Mm-hmm. Should you physically stop after a certain amount of time, or do you wait for baby's cue?
So generally we say wait for baby's cues, right? But I personally follow a little bit of a guideline where I say to moms, you don't want baby to be feeding less than 5 minutes yes. and then coming off the breast, because most likely they're not getting sufficient milk from the breast.
Okay.
So they might be falling asleep too early, or there may be other problems mm-hmm. that we would need to address on an individual basis.
Yes.
But generally, we don't want longer than 5 minutes. Shorter than 5 minutes. But then we also don't want an hour or 2 hours of the baby literally on your breast.
Yes.
Because that also shows us that baby's probably not getting sufficient milk supply, or there's something else that's the problem, whether it may be the flow of milk, whether it may baby's still not latched correctly, so baby's taking a longer time to get milk out. So we never want a time. We want to follow the baby's cues.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see that you are on the spectrum of too little or too long feeds, mm-hmm. you know, which is like looking at about 45, 50, 60 minutes, then we kind of like have to come in and say, okay, let's have a look and see, is everything okay? How's it going? How's mm-hmm. the breast? You know, do a breast assessment, watch the baby, because the baby is really interacting with the breast.
So ideally speaking then, if you have fed and baby has fed sufficiently for longer than 5 minutes and our baby has fallen asleep, I mean, mom is tired as well, and probably there could be a tendency, you're in a very comfortable spot, to, you know, lie there, and then baby wakes up again, sees the breast, and latches again. Now, is that not teaching baby habits, that it's okay to, you know, have a 2 minute doze and then doze, have another 2 minute and doze? Should you create, if baby falls asleep, should you then put baby in the cot, bring baby back when it's ready to, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. does that work?
So
in
ideally,
a perfect world?
In my perfect world, things would be very different. So I think, you know, the first thing is that we have to stop thinking about breastfeeding and breast milk as just nutrition. We have to remember that babies feed for comfort, babies feed for food, babies feed for water. So your baby may feed more for certain reasons that the baby knows. They may need your comfort. You may have been away from them for a period of time, and now they yes. see you again, and they just want to be with you. So they'll cry because they want their mom, they want their breast, because that is their comfort.
Yes.
And if you think about it, it's regulating your nervous system, right? So
right.
this is literally how babies regulate their nervous system, is through the breast mm-hmm. and through the mom. So if we could let go of the timers, and I know, you know, I'm saying it, and I go to a mom and I say, when last have you fed the baby? How long have you fed the baby? So
yes.
sometimes they feel they have to write it down, because brain fog after birth is also a big thing, right? But if moms just do like these little baby moons or holidays with their babies, where they give birth and they get to just spend time with the baby. They get to sit with the baby, feed the baby, learn your baby's cues.
Undistracted.
Undistracted. And you can never spoil a newborn baby. They literally don't have that part of their brain developed that can recognize that you're spoiling them. So you can hold your baby as much as you like. If the breast is a comfort for your baby, you can use that as a comfort for your baby however long. I mean, in my personal journey, my kids all drank 2 years or more. I just finished feeding my third baby, and she was just 2.5 when she finished. And it's a big comfort for her. Yes, you know, most of the time, even closer to weaning, it wasn't about food.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't about nutrition. It was comfort. She didn't see me the whole day. And she uses it at night. That's how she used to fall asleep.
Yes.
Was when I'm with her, she falls asleep on the breast. And it didn't bother me because it was easy for me.
Of course.
If you want her to sleep, you go put her on the breast and she's knocked out, you know?
Yes.
So I think we have to go back to physiologically.
Yes.
What our babies need, what our babies understand. And it will make parenting experience so much easier.
Absolutely.
Because they don't understand clocks.
No. Now, you know, I mean, and it's not a lonesome journey either. We have a support system, right? So let's talk about that. How do we build and create a supporting environment for breastfeeding? I mean, it's a combination of elements. It's a combination of the people around us and our environment, our physical environment. So let's talk about that.
So firstly, that prenatal education that I was speaking about. So these moms are not your antenatal classes. This is not your regular antenatal classes.
Yes.
This is specific breastfeeding education. Yes. Classes, so right?
It might be covered in your, yes, in your classes, but this goes into a lot more detail, right?
Yes, yes. And look, you're going to go, I always say to them, I become like a pastor at church that can speak for hours on breastfeeding, but that's literally what you can do, right?
Yes.
So at least if you have 2 full hours on breastfeeding education before you give birth. And I want to encourage our families to start joining these classes. Be interested. So
that's,
I'm really
so true,
speaking to the grannies, you know, the grannies that are going to come live with you,
yeah,
the aunties, the your husbands.
Helpers, your husbands, yeah.
Yes, everybody. Literally, it shouldn't be rocket science to latch a baby. Everyone should have that knowledge.
Yes.
And this is where I also plead with families, if you are supportive, if your daughter or your wife or whoever it is, mm-hmm, says to you that they want to breastfeed, please don't buy formula, please don't buy bottles, please don't buy dummies and tell her that it's just for in case of what?
Yes.
You know, I find if we don't have those in cases that
not
happen,
yet,
you have to deal with what you have and you have your boobs.
Yes.
You know?
And try.
Exactly. So to the families, you know, to getting that support system is firstly getting everyone on board of your team, right? Again, intention, mm-hmm, sharing that intention with everyone, and then having them also understand what the benefits are. And I can tell you, so many moms have been afraid and then said to me, Tara, when you come home, please just be aware that my mom or my mom-in-law is there, and they are very difficult people.
Yeah.
And by the time I leave that house, the moms are amazed. And if they knew this before,
yes,
it would make your life a lot easier.
And your partner as well, understanding,
exactly,
sharing your intention and being there to support you.
Exactly.
When you're having a challenging time, reminding you of, yes, your intentions, having that support is also amazing, right?
Absolutely.
Now, what about your physical environment? Is there a special place where that you should allocate to where you feed baby at home? You know, should you create a peaceful zone, a zen zone, you know, kind of thing? Or is it anywhere? Do you need any special props?
You know what? I always say, again, in a perfect world, you could go to a serene place and everything would be perfect and you just feel so well there. But in reality, you are mum. Right? And a mom has to be flexible and you have to be versatile. So I encourage becoming comfortable to breastfeed anywhere. You know how many flights I've taken with my children that has been effortless because of breastfeeding? You pop that boob into their mouth and they are quiet.
Yeah.
So just having that ability to give yourself spaces to feed, different positions to use, so that whenever you are anywhere,
yes,
you can pop that boob into the baby's mouth. without the concern of having a specific place. Yeah. Because our minds are funny, right?
True.
If you feel like I can only latch at that place, that's the only place you're going to latch at.
Yes,
because like you've convinced yourself.
There's no letdown. There's that milk's just not going to come because you're so tense. Anywhere Absolutely. Else. That is so true. I didn't think Absolutely. About it like that because, you know, you always think, oh, you know, when you're planning your baby's room, you want your rocking chair, your feeding chair, and that's where I feed, you know, and
yes.
But you could feed anywhere because, like you're saying, we multitask, and sometimes you need to just stop what you're doing in the kitchen quickly, go and feed baby. You might be in somebody else's house, a friend's house, granny's house.
Absolutely.
So there's so many ways. Yeah.
And you may actually have other kids.
That's true as well. And you have to see to them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And allow, you know, the breastfeeding experience. Again, we're looking at our future generations, so that our kids are people who see breastfeeding.
And they're comfortable with it.
Exactly. And they start to become familiar. You know, oh, I know because my sister went through that and this is what she did. Or this is, you know, so you have that hands-on experience to just be able to get it and not it being this foreign thing that you've never seen in your life.
That's amazing. Now let's move on to, you know, mental health, right? We all talk about, you know, there's often speak about postpartum depression and all of that. Now, how is there a relation between breastfeeding and mental health? Can it affect your mental health? Can your mental health affect your breastfeeding?
Absolutely. So in the beginning when we spoke, I said to you, it reduces the rate of postpartum depression when it's going well.
Okay, when it's going well.
When it's not going well, it can actually increase your risk of postpartum depression because you feel rejection from your baby. Because when your baby's not attaching to the breast wall, you feel like you have disappointed your baby. You feel like you're not a good enough mother because you can't latch your baby. And most of the time, I want to say it's a system problem that doesn't give sufficient support and that moms don't know where to reach out for help, rather than it being a mom problem or a baby problem.
Yeah.
Because if you have sufficient help and you have sufficient resources, you can help your baby.
Yes.
You can teach the baby how to latch. The baby comes out with that as a reflex,
right.
A suckling reflex, you know. So it can actually have a negative effect on the mom if she doesn't have enough support. If she's feeling like she's constantly having to fight to just get her breastfeeding journey approved by her family, you know, which is a big thing. And then stress actually decreases your milk supply. So many women will think they've got a milk supply problem. And yes, latching is directly related to it. And other things that you can look at, like tongue ties or lip ties or all of those things. But inherently, stress, again, when we go back to the hormones, oxytocin, your stress hormone, decreases oxytocin. And automatically, you're going to see a change in your milk supply. So when you are going through stressful environments, again, finding outlets in order, like people you need to speak to. If you need to get help, get help. You know, breastfeeding counselors are amazing in terms they are less expensive than a full-on lactation consultant. And I mean, a specialist just needs to go for specialized areas, right?
Yeah,
so you can get someone. You know, there's many free places that you can get help from, places that give you free support.
That is
so,
true.
You know, reach out and get that help.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than feeling like you are the reason that your baby's not getting breast milk. Because, and then we've got a whole community of Fed is Best. And then saying that, it's fine, you know, whatever you give your baby, it's fine. But it's not fine if that was your intention. If your intention was to breastfeed and now you're going through a difficult time and then people tell you Fed is Best. You know, it doesn't register, your brain is not registering that it's okay.
Yes.
Your brain sometimes still registers that you're a failure. So you had to go to formula.
Oh, how frustrating, hey. But there is help and there's hope. So it's... like you're saying, it's about reaching out, and that is so important as well. It's you're not on this journey alone. I think moms need to realize that you have a whole community that's supporting you, and outside your personal space, there's another community
exactly.
like yourself, right? Now, Let's talk about, as we round up, just holistically, you know, if we look at moms that are breastfeeding, when we look at rest and nutrition and hydration, you know, what considerations should, what tips do you have for moms here?
So getting rest is important, as much as it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get help from family, from your partner, make sure that it's help that's going to be relevant.
Ah.
So it's yes. not relevant.
Having somebody present is not necessarily help.
Exactly. Having someone who wants to carry your baby the whole day, where you have to go make your own food or you have to fight for uh-huh. time with your baby is not helpful, right?
No.
So people making you food, because food, again, nutrition is important.
Right.
Your breast milk is made from your blood, not from your stomach. So you can eat things like, you know, let's throw the myths away that yes. you may not eat spicy foods, you may not eat tomatoes. What else have you heard?
That is so true.
You may not eat, I don't know what
yes.
what the things are,
gassy
you know.
Food.
Yes, right? Yes, yes. Or you mustn't drink cold drink or orange juice. You mustn't drink orange juice, you know. So your breast milk is made, and this is actually evidence-based. It's not me, mm-hmm. you know, that's saying this. So it has been thoroughly researched that it's made from your blood and not from your tummy. So you can eat, and if you eat well, you eat sufficiently, you eat on time. And breastfeeding moms are hungrier, so you're going to be hungrier than you ever were in pregnancy, even, because your body is making milk consistently,
right?
So you're going to eat well, you're going to make sure you're drinking well. If you can, avoid the jungle juices and all these things that are said to make milk.
Mm, yes.
What you need to do, your baby needs to be latched deeply onto the breast. You need to eat well, you need to rest, and you need to spend time with your baby, skin to skin, holding your baby, allowing the baby to latch onto the breast. Easy access onto the breast, right? So that's going to solve all the problems. How they can help? Dad does burping, mom does feeding. You've got a job. Do your job well, you know? And grannies, families, aunties, make food. You know, make sure that's your daughter, right? Or yes. your daughter-in-law. Yes. So you take care of her while she takes care of her baby.
Now, Tara, what are your thoughts on different kinds of tools like to assist? So mom goes back to work. What are your thoughts on breast pumps and storage solutions and those kind of things that to help mom continue the journey?
So I think it's very individual. It's an individual journey on where you're working. You know, do you have a place to store the milk? Do you even have a place to pump? And this is where we really call workplaces out to come to us as lactation specialists and ask us, like, how do we improve our breastfeeding in the workplace?
Mm.
We sit in glass offices these days where, you know, you can't express because it's very open and exposed, right? So finding your HR department, asking them where you can have a room to express in, making that time, making sure that when you are pumping and you're getting a pump, get that pump to be fitted for you. Check with a lactation consultant.
Okay.
If that pump is getting sufficient milk out for you. So as much as your boobs are the same, they're not twins.
Aha. They're like your eyebrows. I've heard this about that too.
Exactly. Everything in your body, the one's different to
yes,
the other,
your
right?
eyes, your eyebrows, yes.
Yes. So you could have one true. Breast that is a different flange size to the other breast. Mm. And that could really make a difference in how you express milk. So as much as latch is a big thing, expressing and getting that same latch
mm-hmm.
is the same principle, where your flange needs to be the correct size for you to get the most milk out. So making sure that you have that sorted, you know, get someone to check your pumps, get someone to chat to your HR if you need to, and then looking at solutions. Do you have a fridge? So this ideally would be the HR department would arrange a space
special.
Where there's a fridge. I used to put my milk when I was still in corporate into a bag, like a lunch bag, in the fridge. So if you open the lunch bag, it's your own business because it's not yours anyway, right? So like just using little tools and tricks like that
yes.
that will allow you to be able to give milk to your baby.
Wonderful. Tara, thank you so much. I think that was so, so insightful for moms. You've broken it down, you've simplified it. And I think it can be a very stressful situation for many moms, and I'm sure you've seen that. But having the right support with you, I think, is key. And understanding there are people like yourselves, lactation experts, lactation counselors around there. So if mom wanted more information about this, where do they find these individuals?
So we've got the LACSA website, and that website will give you the Lactation Consultants of South Africa.
So LACSA as in LACSA.
L-A-C-S-A.
L-A-C.
Yeah.
S-A. L-A-C-S-A. Okay. Yep.
So that's one of the places that you can find where the lactation consultants are. Not everyone's on that group, but, you know, that group is a great starting point finding, you know, a lactation consultant on there. Breastfeeding counselors, you can check on social media. There is a breastfeeding counselors website. I don't know what it is offhand right now.
Yes, but we'll find it and we'll share the link.
I'll send it to you. Yeah. Absolutely. So then you can share that link where you can find breastfeeding counselors. My website is yogamama.co.za.
Yes, and they can reach out to you as well.
Yeah. And then we also have 1,000 Days of Grace Foundation, where if they can't afford lactation support and they have given birth at a government facility, we do offer free lactation support to them through the foundation.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was truly insightful. We absolutely love it and so appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Lights, Camera, Baby. A big thank you to Tara for sharing her expertise and invaluable advice on breastfeeding. Remember, every mum and baby's journey is unique, and there's no one-size-fits-all approach. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or have questions about your lactation journey, know that help and support are available. Trust yourself, trust your body, and learn about the resources and the community around you. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to Lights, Camera, Baby for more insights and conversations about parenting. You can also follow us on social media for updates and tips. Until next time, take care of yourself and your little one. You're doing a fantastic job, Mom.